I pray that I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes I'm asked to interview people putting themselves forward for ordained ministry. And one of the questions I always ask them is, who do people become in your presence? When they're with you, what does your presence do to people? It's a question worthy of some reflection because it's trying to unearth something of ourselves we don't or choose not to see. And yet, it's the part of us that affects everyone around us every day, for good, for bad. But what happens when there is no one with us? Who are we then? And it's this that Jesus begins to discover in the harsh clarity of the desert. What's often forgotten is that Jesus doesn't go into the desert as some lonely hero, some Clint Eastwood of the spirit, existentially tormented as to who he really is. He goes into the desert in response to a gift, because before the desert, he's just been baptized. At his baptism, he gets pushed under the surface of the water. You can only hear you under the water, your own heart beating. And all the noise from the shore, and there would have been a lot of noise, a lot of criticisms and gossip, people coming to see what's going on with this John the Baptist. All that noise, just for a second or two, is drowned out. It's just him. And then, pulled out of the water, he takes a deep breath of fresh air, starting a newer life. And we're told that he then hears a voice, not from the shores, but from heaven. And this is the one voice that matters. And it tells him, "You are mine. I love you. You make me very happy." So when he goes into the desert, he knows who he is and he knows he's loved. And that's the first lesson. Because although we speak a lot about love in here and in churches around the world, not many of us really believe we are lovable, all loved. So what happens is that Jesus goes into a wilderness where all the empty voices come back at him, tempting and torturing his mind, trying to simmer him down out of that dignity that he'd just discovered at the water. So in that desert, he's learning to live up to the voice that matters and not live down to the ones that don't, those that want to suffocate him. And this, as we heard, included the devil, who, by the way, endlessly quotes the Bible at him. Something worth remembering too. Just to quote the Bible is not enough. Even the devil can do that. The desert, silence, aloneness, all very frightening. And if you doubt that, well, just think of all the effort we go to keep those things away, the radio in the car, the mobile phone on the beach, the laptop on the train, the whistle in the dark, the muzak in the shop, the bar, the restaurant. And those who live with too much aloneness and quiet know that you have to be strong to make these fruitful and not destructive. But if we are getting our sense of ourself only from other people, if we only exist because someone notices us, then we will literally dissolve in the desert. If we get our sense of self from what we own, if what we possess actually possesses us, then our self will collapse in the desert with nothing to hold on to and no one to see us. If we get our sense of self through an overblown exaggeration of ourselves, I am because I am better, then with no one to compare yourself to, the desert can only challenge you with yourself, and you may discover you're not quite who you thought. And all this subtraction of the soul, this simmering pan in the wilderness where so much is reduced down and our impurities boiled away, then we see the worth and our dependence and our true possession being rediscovered. And for Christ, he saw it in the living, holy, eternal God. And you only get nearer to God by humility, not, as Jesus was tempted, by power, religious gimmicks, or attempts to be Superman. Only by humility does God get closer. But to discover that way of humility involves a lot of confused pain. And in Mark's gospel, he says that Jesus spent his time in the desert with wild beasts, and angels ministered to him. That perhaps is a strong image for Lent and a good project for us, to spend a little more time in quiet, alone each day, to work out what those wild beasts are in you that need taming. And who or what are the angels that minister to you, where you find peace and refreshment, where you find yourself still growing, no matter how old you are. Lent is the time we're trying to spot the wild beasts that may destruct people around us without us knowing, in our presence, and also to embrace the angels. Life after baptism has many trials, as Jesus found. But the song that was placed into our hearts at baptism, the song that our godparents had to learn so well that they could sing it back to us in case we forgot it, the song of God whispering our name so that we will never forget that life begins in love and being lovable. You are my child, my beloved. You make me very happy. If you go through deserts, remember this. Remember who you are according to your Creator, who wants you to flourish in love and completeness. Live life to God's melody and not to all the noises off. It's a serious call. Face your wild beasts and hold on to your angels.